Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hope Community Church podcast. Hope exists to love people where they are and encourage them to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And we believe that as we partner with God in His mission, that we can see a world changed. Listen, if you're looking for notes to the message you're about to hear or links to other messages, we want to encourage you to check out the link in our description. If you're looking for more content and resources that we believe will be a blessing to your life, feel free to check out our YouTube channel or download our free app, which is available right now. If this message is a blessing for you, we want you to consider sharing it with your friends and family as we hope to get the message of Jesus spread across the globe. Thanks for joining us.
So a couple years ago, I signed up for something called the Dopey Challenge. The Dopey Challenge is a four-day race in Disney property in Orlando. On Thursday, you run a 5K. On Friday, you run a 10K. On Saturday, you run a half marathon. And on Sunday, you run a full marathon. And if you complete all of these races, you are awarded a shirt and a medal with Dopey from Snow White on them. Because you have nearly run 50 miles and you are Dopey, right? Now, I know what you're thinking. You are looking at me and you are sizing me up and you are asking yourself the same question that my kids asked. And to be very clear, I did not win the Dopey Challenge. I did not come in first place, but I did finish. You know the colloquial, yeah, there we go. Oh, it was ugly, calm down. You know the colloquialism, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. The Dopey Challenge was a journey for me. So leading up to the race, I did all the training, right? 6 months out, I'm running several days a week, long runs on back-to-back days. But then on Christmas Eve, 2 weeks before the race, I'm messing around in my backyard in the dark, barefoot, like rednecks do, and I stepped on a rusty nail. Yeah, it was bad. So I showed up on race day still nursing this deep wound in my foot. Now, during the first race, my hip started to hurt. Now, this was a strange new kind of pain that I hadn't felt before. I didn't know this until about 6 weeks later. But apparently, because of the way I was nursing my left foot, it caused a stress fracture in my right hip. But I got through the 5K, and I got through the 10K, and I got through the half marathon. The marathon, a little bit of a different story. It was a struggle. I remember being on mile 5 into the marathon, and I'm pretty confident. I mean, I can bear through this, right? They've got good snacks out here. And then at mile 5.1, I thought, this has got to end. This is not going well. And that's when the mind games really started to start, right? I had coordinated with my wife. I was going to see my family out on the course about halfway through because, you know, they want to cheer me on and they want to encourage me. And I've told you guys this before. She refers to me as Hunkalicious, and I need to earn that title. They don't just give that out. But I want to also, I want to show my boys that I can do hard things and that I'm an athlete and that I can have fun. But mile 13 came and went and I never saw not a one of them. So now I'm hurt and I'm hot and I'm tired and I'm just sad. Then we made it to mile 19. Now, running along Animal Kingdom through fake Morocco, the sun is out, it's 85 degrees on a January morning, which felt like actual Morocco, I would imagine. My foot hurts, my hip hurts, my skin hurts. I keep hoping to see my family. They're nowhere in sight. And I kind of hit this wall of defeat. You see, the thing that you need to know about the Disney races is it is not a competitive environment. Like whoever won that race, nobody cares. Unless you're in this room, congratulations. But whoever dressed the best, who was wearing the best costume, that's who those jokers care about. And let me tell you, the lowest low for me on this race was when these two individuals passed me at mile 19. First, Captain Jack Sparrow. In full costume. I mean, he's bopping and hopping around the crowd of runners, right? He's got an empty bottle of rum that he's got. He's in full character. He's got dreadlocks, wearing a leather hat, like four layers of pirate clothes, speaking in an accent. He's having a great time, and he passed me right by. And it didn't take long for him to get out of my sight, but then my left shoulder is brushed by a guy who is dressed up in a costume as Han Solo, who is frozen in carbonite. Meaning, for 4 days, this man ran with his shoulders attached to a 4-foot cardboard box And this guy, dressed as a fictional character who was supposed to be incapable of motion, passed me. And my perspective about my journey to finish this race was doomed. Like, what am I doing out here? Mickey Mouse is a rat. The finish line is too far. Am I even going to be able to make it? I just wish this was over. I'm all alone. Nobody sees my pain. Nobody cares. That's where my head was at. It got dark, y'all. And I'll come back to that, but have you ever felt that way about your life? That the finish line is too far. Am I even going to be able to make it? I just wish this was over. My circumstances are against me. My life is too hard. I'm all alone and nobody sees me and nobody cares. Have you ever been there? Ladies, have you ever felt like you were the glue that holds everything together and there's no time for you to do the thing that you need to do for you because you are holding it all together for everybody else and nobody sees you? Nobody says thank you? Nobody knows that your journey is difficult and you just feel alone in it? Fellas, you ever felt like the weight of the world is on your shoulders? And if you don't grin and bear it, you will be crushed. But you would rather be crushed than be seen as weak and disappoint people. You guys ever been there? I've been there. I'm there way more often than I would like to admit. We're wrapping up this series about the foundations of the faith. And we've learned that we are made in the image of God and that we are broken and we can be fixed. And last week, Dwayne said, we're heading towards something better. And heading towards something better is abiding in Christ, focusing on Jesus, which takes some very individual, personal, intentional time, right? Taking a walk with Jesus requires time alone with Jesus. And today, I want to introduce to you another element into heading towards something better. Today, we're talking about community. Because we began the series talking about being created in the image of God, right? And God himself, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. We are created in the image of a God who in himself is community. And in the creation story, God made Adam. And he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve. And then together with the creation of community, creation was complete. And God rested. We are designed to be in community, a collective together as a part of others. But we are a stubborn bunch, especially in the American and the Western world where individuality is our priority. Or better yet, my comfort and my ease is my priority, and people, community with people, is not easy. But God has designed us to be in community. So let's figure out what the scripture says in Hebrews 10. We're going to be in Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is interesting because we do not know who the author of Hebrews is. There are a lot of theories out there, and there's really little consensus. But we do know that Hebrews was written to an urban people, all right? Jewish Christians and Jewish people who knew of Jesus in a city setting. In fact, there are more references to city in the book of Hebrews than anywhere else in the New Testament. Now, why does that matter? Well, the makeup of a biblical city is pretty much what we see here in the triangle. It was a pluralistic society, and we live in a pluralistic society. We're in communities, no matter where you are in this area, all of our communities include a pretty high level of diversity of thought, diversity of ideology and experiences, races, heritage, culture, values, right? And all of that influences social norms. And that is the experience of the recipients of the book of Hebrews. You see, there were so many different belief systems, a Jewish Christian's commitment brought a level of marginalization, brought a level of hostility. And the audience of the book of Hebrews is suffering in persecution, and they're struggling to keep the faith. So the question that is being addressed in Hebrews is, if God is so good and he is for me so much, then why is my life so hard? Can we get a retweet on that? Life is difficult. We don't respond well to difficulty. We want comfort and ease at all costs. So because of this hardship, some of these Jewish Christians have left the faith. Some of these Jewish Christians have hidden their faith. And the author of Hebrews is attempting to remind the group of Jewish Christians that life is a journey. It is a slow drip It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a journey from weariness into rest. It's a journey from loneliness into togetherness. It's a journey from isolation into the presence of God. And the only way we are going to get home, as the author of Hebrews says, and Dwayne reminded us last week, is if we fix our eyes on Jesus. So the author attempts to answer that question by these two themes that are woven throughout the book of Hebrews. The number one theme, right? The supremacy of Jesus. Jesus is the true and better Moses. He's the true and better high priest. He's better than the angels. He's better than the old covenant. He's better than old traditions. He's better than the law. He is the true and better offering, and he's the true and better sacrifice. It's the first theme. The second theme that is woven throughout this book is a challenge to the readers to remain faithful to Jesus despite the distractions, despite the persecutions. So the scripture we're looking at today is going to capture both of those themes. We're going to break it up a little bit. Let me show you. Hebrews 10, 19 is where we're starting. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. You get that? Jesus is the curtain. He's the doorway into the presence of God, and he is also the great priest over the house of God. And continues, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Our assurance that we have access to the presence of God is by our faith. And through faith, we have grace, and then it aligns with this, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So through Jesus' life and his crucifixion, the resurrected Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names, made for us a way to enter into the presence of God. Amen? The second theme is a challenge, right? The challenge to the readers to remain faithful to Jesus despite the suffering, despite the persecution, the marginalization, or the distraction. He says, stay focused. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And that's the challenge. Remain faithful. Remain faithful to Jesus despite distraction. Stay focused on the hope that we have and encourage each other. Look, church, if we are going to endure the journey, if we're going to endure the sufferings, if we're going to endure marginalization or distractions of society, if we are going to remain faithful to Jesus, we must do it together. So I ask you, do you have community? Do you have people that you can call on in a time of want or need? Do you have people that will check on you? Do you have people that will satisfy the idea of belonging that Bill mentioned in his video? Because those are actually tricky questions. I think most of us will nod our heads and feel pretty good with the surface level idea of community that we have. But I also think that the vast majority of our relationships, the vast majority of our security in our community is superficial. And this is why I say that. The data's out there, and it's a little bit wild. The Surgeon General, so the same authority who in 1966 said that all tobacco products are in need of a health risk advisory, he has sent out a loneliness health risk advisory. All right? We are in an epidemic of loneliness, he writes, in 2023. Loneliness is far more than a bad feeling. It harms individual and societal health. Loneliness is associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and premature death. He says, being lonely is worse on your body than smoking 15 cigarettes a day, being obese, and being physically inactive. This report says that you can be at home sucking down a pack of heaters, eating Burger King, binge watching all 97 episodes of iCarly, and your physical body would be healthier than if you're lonely. It continues, the harmful consequences of a society that lacks social connection can be felt in our schools, in our places of work, or civic organizations where performance, productivity, and engagement are diminished. For the last 20 years, social isolation has continually increased. and household, family engagement, general companionship has dramatically decreased. We are either taking steps to fight against loneliness or we are suffering in loneliness. But perhaps you're like, this guy is dopey. I'm not lonely. I'm fine. That might be you. Listen, I'm not trying to shame or guilt anyone into convincing yourself that you're lonely. And I know the different types of community. There's different relationships, certainly different personality dynamics, right? I know that the introverts, of which I am one, the introvert is sitting here thinking, I'm not lonely, I'm happy. The introvert, we are a self-sufficient people. We don't need anything from anybody. We don't need help. We don't need somebody to tell me to go out and find myself. We don't need help identifying boundaries, because guess what? We got them. And our boundaries are firmly between me and everybody else. Because we sure don't need the drama. We don't need the energy or the ideas or the karaoke nights or the board games. Just let me be. But I personally identify with some of that, although I do love a karaoke night. But that doesn't make it right. And it doesn't make it good, and it's certainly not in line with our design. Fighting comfort and ease for this person is just showing up and engaging. And I'm telling you, that is difficult. It is easier to hide than to be healed. Then you got this other group. Maybe there's a loneliness epidemic, but I can't be lonely. I got more people than I know what to do with. My schedule is slammed. I'm in re-engage on Monday, coaching baseball on Tuesday, hanging out with A and B on Wednesday, C and D on Thursday, and A to Z on the weekend between soccer games. Now, the extroverts are social people. They love a party. They love a group project. They love a group chat. But the threat to the social people is we might have a lot of relationships, but are they depth relationships of depth and care? Are they relationships where you are truly known? Or is your community a social club that enables the pursuit of distraction? Or the pursuit of apathy? Or the pursuit of sin? Fighting comfort and ease with this bunch might be having a conversation about feelings or identity or rest. Because if the scripture says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, faithfully, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. The question isn't, do you have community? It's, do you have gospel community? And gospel community, simply put, it's a group of people who are honest and self-aware about our sin and brokenness and acknowledge the dependence that we have on Jesus. Gospel community applies the Bible for life change. Gospel community prays together and for one another, right? They're committed to servanthood of others, and they spend time together because their lives are interwoven around Jesus. A gospel community says, I can't fix my brokenness. I can't head towards something better without Jesus and without you. So do you have gospel community? Do you have a safe space to fall, to fail? Do you have someone you trust with your pain or your sin, not just someone you trust to sin with? You have people in your life who will stir you up towards love and good works, to compel you towards the finish line. Do you have someone in your life that you trust with your pursuit of abiding in Christ? And for the past 6 years, I've had a group of men that I meet with, and we simply ask two questions. How were you close to Christ this week, and how did you deny discipleship? How did you deny Jesus? We meet every week, sort of. Y'all know how life is. We didn't meet this week. And there have been some tough conversations at that table. Brutal honesty. And the most helpful element of that gospel community for me is self-awareness. And am I being honest with myself about myself? Because James talks about confessing sin. James says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And when I say out loud to these men who love me that I have been apathetically denying abiding in Jesus, or that I'm stuck in a habit of eating too much, or that I haven't been paying enough attention to my wife. There is no hiding in that confession. There is healing in that confession. And Paul says, watch carefully how you are walking. Ephesians 5:13, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. That is what gospel community looks like. Gospel community is an awakened church. And listen, church family, if God is calling us to anything collectively here at Hope Community Church, He is calling us to wake up. He is calling us to wake up because Christ is alive. Wake up because Jesus is King. Wake up because we are not alone, and we are not designed to be alone. We are designed by a creator. We are sculpted by Him Himself for community, to be together. And we must wake up because there is a sleeping world around us that has no chance of waking up if we are not holding fast to the confession of our hope faithfully and stirring up one another to love and good works faithfully and refusing to neglect meeting together faithfully but encouraging one another faithfully. So do you have gospel community? Do you desire gospel community? Are you intentionally running from gospel community? So, there I was, mile 19. You with me? Back in the Dopey Challenge, mile 19, and I was completely defeated because Johnny Depp and Harrison Ford just passed me. And I'm shuffling along, man. I'm living in complete doubt that I will ever finish this, that I'm even worthy to be on the journey. And it was at this point that I met the most impactful stranger that I have actually never met. I don't know this guy, but I come up behind him, and he has two individuals adjacent to him, one on his left and one on his right. I only noticed this group because the two individuals on the outside are wearing these bright yellow jerseys that say support athlete. They were there to help the man in the middle get to the finish line, and my brother needed some help. He was a 6'4" giant solid rock of a man, and he's on day 4 of the Dopey Challenge. He's 43 miles in out of 48 miles, and he's paraplegic. He was there running on carbon fiber legs, attached somewhere below his waist, and as I saw him moving each prosthetic leg, left leg forward, right leg forward, as I witnessed this, my paradigm shifted. Because this man was there on the same course that I was on. He's running in the same race that I'm running. He's headed to the same finish line that I'm headed toward, but from a completely different background. And I don't know if he's a wounded warrior. I don't know if he was in an accident, if he was born this way. I know he is working with a completely different set of circumstances, and I'm positive that he's been through more hardship than I have ever known. And I watched as he endured the journey, left leg forward, right leg forward. And because he was there, I knew he could finish the race. And in that, it emboldened me to know that I could finish my own race. And let me be clear, this was not a sense of superiority. It wasn't because I have legs and you don't. It wasn't because I think I can make it because you shouldn't be able to make this. It's not I'm better than you or my body is in better shape than yours. No, this moment was a moment of inspiration, compelled. My purpose and my motivation, my perspective changed. My foot still had a hole in it, and my hip still had a crack in it, but in my mind, I said, I am here with you, brother. And because you are here, I can get to the finish line. Your presence in this race, in this journey, gives me hope, makes me a recipient of hope, and that makes you a conduit of hope for me. And my presence in this race, in this journey, makes me a hope giver, and that, and an ambassador for you. And for Jack Sparrow and Hans and all these other knuckleheads at the Dopey Challenge. Now, I know that's a strange revelation to have at the Dopey Challenge. But in that moment, I understood more clearly that this is what being made for community is. This is what being part of the body of Christ is. This is what church is. A place where we are free to be who we are. From whatever background we have, with whatever circumstances we are suffering through, and be a recipient of hope and also a conduit of hope for others. Because in the same way that the Father sent the Son, who is the hope of the world, and Jesus has invited us into community with him, and I have an obligation to invite others into me, into community with Jesus. Because in Jesus' physical absence, he sends us out to be people of hope. He commissions us as hands and feet. He entrusts us to use these gifts that he has given us for the purpose of building up one another and being a mere reflection of the goodness of God. In church, we aren't building up one another enough. We let distractions creep in. Some of us have fixed our eyes on our flesh and not the torn flesh of Jesus. And we've lost sight of our purpose that God has given us, our gospel presence in this world. Be it in this room or online or at work or at school or in your home, our gospel presence impacts the ability for those around us to endure sufferings, allows others to deny distractions, allows others to stay focused and fix their eyes on Jesus. And the marginalization of this world cannot stand up against an awakened church. Amen? So Hebrews goes on, chapter 12, verse 3 says this. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. The author is giving perspective on what the supremacy of Jesus has done for us, that we would be compelled to come alongside another in fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus endured hostility and he turned the other cheek. And Jesus endured hostility and he carried his own cross up a hill. And Jesus endured hostility and he allowed men whom he created to thrust nails into his body and hang him to die so that we might be in community with him and the Father who sent him. Being a gospel community, a hope giver, means we must step into a life of sacrifice. And sacrifice always comes with a high level of risk and exposure. The reality is people will let you down, and they will disappoint, and they will offend. But I remind you that Jesus denied himself. Jesus was left alone on the cross so that you and I will never be. He will never let you down. Hebrews 13, I will never leave nor forsake you. So we can confidently say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Jesus was separated from the Father in his death, whom he had always been in community with, eternally. And in his resurrection, we are welcomed into community, into relationship with God. Community is at the core of our identity as a new creation in Christ. It's the church being the church. It's who and how we are designed to be together with him in community. And there's so many different opportunities for gospel community. I mean, just even here, in our ministry programs, right? We've got small groups and mission teams and serve teams. And I mean serving in Kid City and initiating a gospel community for our children would be a great place to start. And all of those environments are designed so that you might experience gospel community, that you might be a hope carrier and a hope receiver into somebody else's life. But I want to simplify this and back it way up. Because gospel community takes some intentionality. I'm going to challenge you to a little exercise. No marathons. We're good on that. I'm not doing one. I was introduced to this exercise a few years ago by a friend of mine named Don Ross, who's actually a mission partner here. And it requires vulnerability and it requires intentionality. But it's a great way to initiate gospel community. It's called 4-3-2-1 Hope. All right? You can rename it if you'd like. But this week, take some time and identify these things. Identify four people who have impacted your life, positively or negatively. Identify three communities that you have been a part of that have impacted you, positively or negatively. Identify two spiritual moments that you have experienced. Identify one wound that you carry. And a hope, a goal for your life, a hope that you have for your life that will benefit others. I want you to think through those things and maybe journal them down, write them in your notes. But here's the challenge. The call is to share it with someone. Share it with the spouse, with a friend, a roommate, someone from your small group, someone you serve with. Family, sit down at dinner and share your story with your kids. Ask your kids these same questions. Because gospel community starts in the home. And it requires intentionality and focus. Look, there's no greater expression of intentional community than when Jesus, the creator of all things, relinquished his authority over all things and humbled himself to death on a cross. We love because he first loved. We serve because he first served. We give because he first gave. So we're going to move into a time of communion, of reflection, and remembering the supremacy of Jesus, the true and better sacrifice. And as we reflect and acknowledge our suffering, acknowledge our sin, also ask God, who is he calling you to compel towards the finish line? Who is he calling you to compel towards him? Where is he calling you to give of yourself to be a conduit of hope for another? So if you'll collect your elements, we're going to do this as one church together, across our campuses, as one gospel community. First, I'll read Hebrews 12, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are our God, and we are your people. God, I lift up those individuals who are lonely, who are unknown. God, that you would break into their lives, into their hearts, and let them know that you are the Father, that you are the Good Shepherd. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would slow down enough to have relationships among ourselves. God, that we'd be willing to pray for one another. We'd be willing to see ourselves as hope carriers for others. And God, that there would be resurrection of new life. God, we are your people. You are our God. In all these things we say, amen. I want to remind you that on the night before Jesus was crucified, he sat with his disciples, he pulled out the bread, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, and it's been broken for you. He said, take it and eat it, and do this in remembrance of me. And then he picked up the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant. It is my blood that has been poured out for you. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You will never be lonely in Christ. He said, drink this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, church.
Thank you for listening to the Hope Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message and encourage you to share it with your friends and family. If you live in the greater Raleigh-Durham area in North Carolina, we'd love to meet you at one of our weekend gatherings. For campus locations, service times, and information on our children and student environments, check out gethope.net. To make sure you don't miss our next message, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button. We would like to invite you to support what we are doing by visiting gethope.net/give. Through generosity of people like you, Hope can run programs like our food pantry, homework club, project classroom, and many more.